Welcome to the Extra Business Edition podcast with Ted Robertson, proudly serving and supporting you and the success of your business. The Extra Business Edition is a production of the KRDO Network. And now, Ted Robertson.
And welcome to the Extra Business Edition. I'm Ted Robertson. Joining me in studio today, Savan Stryker, the general manager for the Bob Penkus Group of Dealerships, and kind of a one-on-one today. Savan, we've had quite a conversation here a few weeks ago, and that led me to think that this would be a great opportunity to get together and talk about your role there, how you and Bob Penkus found each other, your background, the continuity piece here, because you're beginning a transition along with Bob, and eventually Savan will be running the show. That's kind of how that's working.
Absolutely. First and foremost, thank you for allowing me to be here. Very honored to have this opportunity, so thank you. As you stated, yes, there's a definite transition piece taking place. However, I don't want anyone to be mistaken. Bob is still involved day-to-day with the operations. He's just finally being an owner, allowing him to enjoy life and everything he's worked hard for.
You state that so well, and my stating that awkwardly, I'm glad you offered that clarification. Bob's not going anywhere.
No, not anytime soon. That man will be there till he decides he's tired of it, I guess, which is not anytime soon.
Let's talk about you a little bit, Savan. You've got a long background in the automotive industry.
Yes, 19 years, in fact. Started at a Ford store in Thornton, Colorado.
And from there, you worked your way up?
Yeah, so starting there, I started as an outbound phone specialist. I couldn't even talk numbers, quite honestly. I was below 18 at the time. I couldn't even get a sales license. So started there, worked there for a couple years, then had the opportunity to go work for Gene Osborne and the Larry Miller Group. Gene Osborne being one of the mentors for Larry Miller himself. I was fortunate enough to be mentored by both Larry Miller and Gene Osborne. So great experience. He mentored me through really all the chairs. I sat through multiple chairs from an internet manager role all the way up to the general manager of what is today Larry Miller Volkswagen, but was Gene Osborne Volkswagen in Lakewood.
And so that gets you how much closer to Bob Penkus at this point?
That was an additional 7 years. So at that point, we're at just shy of 10 years. Mm-hmm. So from there, I did have a little stint. I got out. Gene Osborne had gotten cancer and passed away. I took that a little hard and really had to step out and reevaluate my whole life and what was important. And in doing that, I stepped away from the car business. But like many in the car business, I came back quickly. It's where my heart is. It's where my passion is. You can touch a heck of a lot of lives in the car business, and not a lot of businesses allow you to do that in that magnitude. So
you were bitten by the bug.
Yeah, definitely bitten by the bug.
I want to sidebar for a couple of minutes on mentor-mentee relationships.
Okay.
It's kind of a special thing.
It is.
How did you approach and engage those guys? And what was it that that they saw in you that they wanted to mentor you?
You know, I wish they were here to tell you. I know in talking with Gene, I think it was the fact that I was just a guy that would get things done. I was young at the time. You know, most people in the car business at that time and era said if you didn't have a bunch of years of experience and you weren't over 40, you really weren't going to go anywhere at that current time. And, you know, Gene was different, but he was different in the beginning. I don't know how much anybody knows about him, but at the end of the day, he was the one who took Larry Miller, who was a parts manager at the Stevenson organization, and promoted him from parts manager to general manager of a Toyota store. And everybody thought he was crazy. So Gene took chances, and with me, he took a big chance, obviously, at my age, and I didn't have a ton of knowledge, but he put me through different schoolings from the Larry Miller General Manager Institute, finance school, various schools to get me the knowledge I need. And I believe that with the drive and support around me, I was able to succeed.
In the meantime, you're meeting your wife, and you guys are getting married. You're having kids.
Yeah, no,
in the midst
wife
of all
15
this.
Years.
Yeah,
We got five kids together, two girls, three boys,
and that keeps you busy. You got some
extremely this
home.
Year. Oh yeah, they're all in the teenage life now. So
yeah,
sports are huge in our family. They always have been. Were for me. So
nice. So a lot of achievement happening there, and a lot of encouragement from their dad and their mom.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and that's one of the traits. It's leadership. It's leading people. It's helping them find what motivates them and keeping that spark going, keeping that fire going.
It is. You know, I was quickly taught that being a leader is much different than being a manager. And, you know, as you come up, you think you're a manager and you discover that you're a leader. And the biggest difference is one comes in with the mindset of expecting people to do things for them. Another gets involved and gets their hands dirty and does whatever it takes right next to them to help them succeed. And, you know, in my position today, I always say I'm not here to manage managers. I'm here to mentor them, help them grow, help them go to the next level. And I live and die by that. And I take a great deal of pride helping others succeed and helping others get where they want to go.
All right. Let's take a break, because when we come back, I want to ask you to tell the story about how you and Bob came to have your relationship and then finally you going under the Pincus umbrella.
Perfect.
All right. I'm Ted Robertson. You're listening to the Extra Business Edition. Savon Stryker, general manager for Bob Pincus and the auto group there. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be back in just a couple of minutes. Welcome back to the Extra Business Edition. I'm your host, Ted Robertson. Joining me in studio today, Savon Stryker, general manager of Bob Pincus, the auto group there. And as we were transitioning into the break and coming back now, the question to you, Savon, and thank you for sharing all the other background. I was really struck by the story that you told me about how you became connected to Bob Pincus. I mean, you didn't lead him on. You didn't fool around with him. You didn't dangle him on a string. He wasn't goofing around with you. You two were serious when you got together and talked.
Yeah,
but you told him no a couple times.
Yeah, we weren't wasn't a good time yet. So when I first met him, I was introduced to him by Katrina, who is she works for Auto Trader, and Chris, who also worked for Cars.com. But they introduced me to Bob and said, "Hey, this is a guy. You're the right guy for him. You need to sit down with him." So I did, in fact, sit down with him. In fact, our first time meeting was at an air hangar, where he flew us to Texas to go to an auction and said, "You know, I don't have time to meet here, but if you'll fly with me, we'll chat." So didn't know him from Adam, but, you know, got in the plane and he flew us to Texas. In that time, though, I got to spend real time with him. So we spent some time, obviously, as we flew. We went and did what we did there. That night we stayed in a hotel. We met down at the bar, had a bite to eat, a couple drinks, and over that had a great deal of conversation. And the conversation was very frank as it relates to business and where I was, the things I've seen, done, accomplished, and failed at, where he was, what he needed. And we finished up that meeting, got back to Denver. He asked me then to meet with his son-in-law, Andrew Cohn, who at one point was a general manager. I met with him. He and I got along very well. In fact, he's like, "I'm going to tell Bob I want to, you know, recommend you." And I said, "I appreciate that." So a couple days passed. I sat down with Bob. We sat back down at his office. After the conversation came to close to an end, it came down to me just saying, "I haven't failed enough to take on your organization." And when I say fail, not in a bad way by any means, but I had not gone through enough to take on an opportunity of A, of that magnitude, and B, of that opportunity. So I was honest with him. And I just said, "You know, I don't think I'm ready." And quite frankly, he wasn't ready, and I think we agreed to that.
Well, my wife passed something on to me that Winston Churchill is quoted as saying, "Success is the ability to move from failure to failure with no loss of enthusiasm." Does that fit you, Savon?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I didn't look at it as a negative. I literally just went back and said, "Hey, there are things I've got to learn." And really, it was a little bit of a humble experience, but I took it more as a new direction, because I knew that's at the end what I wanted. I didn't know how that path was ever going to recross, but I knew in the end I wanted to run an organization with a man like Bob who, you know, he owns his own business and he's got a heck of a lot of integrity. And that's the person if I'm going to be a part of, if I'm ever going to become a partner with somebody, if I'm ever going to do any of that, it needs to be the man of that stature. And so I did just that. So I did that for the next 5 years. I was with the Larry Miller Group, went through again more training, another general manager school. I ran two stores for that group, actually created the number one Jeep store in the state for that time, and actually third in the region, which had never been done by a Colorado store. But that again came with a lot of successes and failures. But every time we failed per se, we all just regrouped and as a team, we mentored, you know, I mentored them where they needed to mentor. I got my own mentorship, and did what I needed to get where I was. So that then created, he and I then, ironically, out of the blue, I saw him at a CADA meeting in Denver. And we talked for a couple minutes, and again, nothing from it, just a friendly, hey, how you doing? Where are you at in life? And then from there, I went to back to where I was, and he reached out in February or January it was, and said, hey, I'm in need of a general manager. What's going on in your life? And I said, you know what? I'm open to sit down. And so we sat down, and quite frankly, it took about a month, month and a half for us to get where we are, and that is where he has the ability to let go and allow me to run the operation while being involved in an owner and obviously the face of the brand he's created with his father, but allowing me to run it. And at this point, when I took on the opportunity, I definitely feel like I'm prepared, and I was prepared. And from that, we're seeing successes, and we saw successes within 90 days. And this success just continues to grow, and the more and more amazing people surround me, and it's amazing.
And the Penkus Group has been around for how long?
Well, so when you look at the big thing, Bob, his senior, which was Bob's father, purchased the Volvo franchise in 1957. So essentially, the company itself was 1951, but they were one of 10 dealers in the U.S. at the time to own a Volvo franchise, and that took place in 1957. 16 years later, they took on Mazda at the main location here in Motor City. And then from there, they continued to grow. They separated the Mazda point. They then added Volkswagen and then Mitsubishi. So, and then diversified out to multiple stores. So today we have 5 franchises and 3 locations, and we're doing, you know, north of 300 cars as a group. And our goal for next year is to get to 500 a month as a group.
Wow. And, you know, there's lots of team building there. There's lots of coaching, counseling, mentoring, all of the things that you were taught how to do. So you are now mentoring the leaders.
Right. And that's the biggest thing for me. Like I said before, I'm not here to manage managers. I'm here to mentor them, help them grow. Yeah. And as we grow the company, and there's plenty of room for growth, I don't want to give up too much of all the secret sauce and secret stuff. But we are looking to diversify and possibly move, you know, some of the franchises out of the main location and create more independent dealerships.
I want to go back to failure for a minute. How do you coach and counsel people to deal with failure?
Well, first and foremost, you have to be honest with yourself and accept it. And that's hard for a lot of people. So really the biggest thing is being able to, you know, sit down and put your arm around the person and say, hey, you know, we made a mistake. First of all, failure is based on the perception of the act. But if we sit down and we look at it and we say, hey, here's where we went wrong. And really, if we evaluate it as what could we have done different, more of, in lieu of, that would have given us a different result, and then going back and overcoming it, that's what I teach and what I preach is, guys, here's the deal. But I do it with them, and I don't just demand them, hey, go do it yourself. You know, I'll go out there and do anything from scraping a car to washing a car to sitting down with the financial statement and going over it with them.
You're teaching people to own their stuff.
Right.
A very good friend, I hope, is listening, is hearing me repeat that. We use a different word, but, you know, you own your stuff.
Yep.
You do.
Yeah. And that's the hardest part. But when you get to a point where, you know, so many people, it's a beating whenever you fail. And I think some of that, that's the world we live in is, you know, failure, you've turned into some misery and it's not. And the key is you identifying it faster and faster, and because you usually can divert it.
I learned a lesson really early on. I goofed something up. I was driving a truck. I ran over something. My boss was at that driver's window, and I got that hangdog look on my face. That was a defining moment for me because he hated that look.
Right.
You're feeling sorry for yourself, and that will make me madder at you than what you just ran over.
Yeah, it's my old saying, you can't lay by your dish.
No, you can't.
You know, if you're going to lay by your dish and feel sorry for yourself.
Yeah.
You know, failure is how we, as you said, it's how we, what we do with it.
Absolutely. Savon, we're going to go to a quick break. I'm Ted Robertson. You're listening to the Extra Business Edition here on KRDO News Radio. My guest, Savon Stryker, a one-on-one today with a man who's doing great things with a long-standing brand. We'll be back. News update coming your way as well. Welcome back to the Extra Business Edition. I'm your host, Ted Robertson. Joining me today, Savan Stryker, General Manager of the Bob Penkus Group, Volvo and Mazda and Volkswagen. The Mitsubishi piece still there?
It is, yes, sir.
Okay. Three brands, Volkswagen, Volvo, been around for a long, long time. And yeah. Mazda kind of, what would you say Mazda came to the country, 1970s, 1980s?
Correct.
Yeah, and Mitsubishi?
They came in the 80s as well, right around the same time. Yeah, they just didn't make near the impact.
Yeah, yeah. So you've got all four brands that you're representing. But, you know, the bigger picture is who is behind these four brands, and that's Bob Penkus. He said back in the 1950s he bought the Volvo dealership.
Yep, yes, sir.
And he was one of how many people in the country that owned a Volvo dealership at the time?
Ten. Yes.
And from there he built it up to being pretty highly placed within the franchise system. Is that right?
Correct. Yeah, no. Yeah. He was one of the top performing Volvo dealers in the nation for quite some time.
Gosh, Savan, I hope you, we were having it. We were comparing notes. I sold cars for a little while when I was a very young guy. And that was an interesting experience because I was around some old guys. You know, they were good guys, though. They weren't the kind of guys that did weird things. And we're talking back in the late 70s here, 1979, and in the middle of Florida. Gas crunch going on at the time. You probably remember that. We got one of the first diesel station wagons from Oldsmobile in that market ever. And I remember hearing a story about the guy who bought it because gas was so hard to get and diesel was so cheap. He paid $4,000 over sticker is what I was told. Now, I'm a naive 18-year-old kid. I'll believe just about anything you're telling me because I'm thinking, can I do that too? The problem was those cars were internal combustion engines retrofitted for diesel, and they didn't put the moisture separators in it. You know how bad diesel was back in the day.
Oh, yeah.
So those guys had come back in on the end of a tow truck a lot of times. The
cars would stop rusted running. Insides, yes. Water down. Yep, absolutely.
Yeah. So, they had to do a lot of servicing of those. But, you know, I think that was, other than Mercedes-Benz, probably already being in the diesel market for passenger cars back in the day, right?
Yeah. I think all of them have come to try it. I think the majority of them are going out of it or phasing it out, and everything's going over to the electric phase. And that's really, if we discuss all the brands we have today, and I just went through a dealer meeting with Volkswagen and Volvo, and both of them are really pushing the EVs. And over between now and 2025, you're going to see, you know, 3 to 4 Volkswagens that way and probably 3 or 4 Volvos that way. Now, what percentage of the business is it going to be? You know, if you ask them, it's probably not going to exceed 20%. It's definitely a niche. We see that with Tesla. But, you know, the one complaint about them is the cars are kind of bland. So I've had the opportunity of actually seeing the Volkswagen EVs, including the Buzz Van, the ID Cross. Those are tremendous looking vehicles. I can only tell you that to take the Volkswagen German engineering and put that with the EV, it's going to be an exciting time to come. And we'll have that by the end of next year. We will actually have the first EV from Volkswagen on the ground.
This is a fun time in car manufacturing evolution and design with new technology. There's a lot of envelope pushing going on. And if you are a dyed-in-the-wool Mustang fan, not long from now, apparently, will be able to buy a Mustang that's not only electric, but it's a crossover. It's a hybridization of the Mustang car with an SUV.
Yeah, no, I did see that. I saw that as well.
I think Tesla's coming out with a pickup truck. So, you know,
that's what they say.
Wow. So lots of fun things happening.
It is. And it just keeps getting more exciting. And just even without the EV, you look at just the regular lines, they're doing facelifts. You'll see that on Volvo and Volkswagen and Mazda. They're diversifying the line. Volkswagen's going to add 5 cars between now and 2025. All new lines. So cars that haven't been on, or they're bringing them back, and Volvo's going to add 3 or 4. So it's exciting.
I caught a quick peek at the new Beetle, and they've lengthened it and lowered it. That's almost like they've chopped the top.
Yeah, you know. So they pulled the. This will be the last year Volvo is that the Beetle's being sold. But the rumor is when it comes back, it's probably going to be an EV.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And it'll probably be around 2025. But yeah, it'll be quite the car for people to want to have.
Yeah, these got to be fun times, especially for you, Savon, with everything that you have going on. You've got these four brands that you're representing. You're giving Bob Pincus, as you say, the opportunity to be the owner that he should be. You're doing the heavy lifting. He's involved, absolutely, but you're doing the heavy lifting.
Yeah.
Now you've got new brands coming out. You know, you've got guys that, you know, you're working with the team and the staff to build that team, to bring everybody together, to make it cohesive. Have you got the brands that are bringing you new models? How do you balance and juggle all of that? You have to be a Superman, or is it?
It's people.
Yeah.
It's no different than any business.
You're surrounded by good people.
Good people. And I've been fortunate enough to have a handful, and they continue to kind of come out of the woodworks. You know, as you push things, you get to see who's the right person, who's not. But, you know, it comes down to, is it a knowing or doing thing? And we continue to grow if it's a knowing thing. If it's a doing thing, you try to help.
Knowing and doing. What two or three takeaways would you offer business owners, entrepreneurs, aspiring leaders, aspiring managers in this category or any other, based on your experience?
First and foremost, it does help to have a mentor and to be a mentor. Just as I got it, I try to pay it forward. It truly can change someone's life. Sometimes that taking out to breakfast or taking them to lunch and taking those few extra minutes or days or hours or whatever it is that you can give, it makes all the difference in people's world. The other thing I'd say is, you know, I always say when managing or mentoring, take the head off the people and manage the situation. It's got to be a non-emotional management style, no matter what company you run. We get caught up in emotion, right? In today's world, it's easy to get emotional, especially with the millennials. We forget they're normal people too. They just need to be managed differently. But when you can find how to really get one of them to work for you, you've never found a harder worker, in my opinion.
And millennials gotten a bad rap.
They've got a terrible rap, and I think that we've got to look in the mirror. I think some of that rap comes from us and how we manage them. Just because they're not what was yesterday and they are what's today, they're good people. They definitely have a different outlook, right? Things that were important to necessarily us, with money and big houses and nice cars, doesn't matter to them. Yeah. But when you start to hit the button of touching someone's life or showing them how they can have an impact on something much greater, be amazed how many of those get behind it.
So what's coming up for 2020 and beyond?
Like I had mentioned before, we're hoping to, obviously we're going to continue to grow the brands, get to where we're selling, you know, 500 plus cars as a company in a month, and look at really, you know, diversifying. Do we move Volkswagen out? Do we move Volvo out, and you know, do we buy another store? And not necessarily another franchise, though, if that were to come around, I'm sure we'd explore it. But really just how do we maximize every brand, and with what they're doing and what they're bringing to us to sell or to offer to our customers. Continue to do what Bob says best, right? Nobody buys just one, and it's because of how you're treated.
It's the experience.
It is.
And when the employees have a superior experience, the customer has an even better experience.
It's the old saying, attitude's a reflection of leadership.
There it is. Savon Stryker, a one-on-one today. Thank you so much for the gift of your time and your wisdom. Savon, we appreciate you very much for this few moments to teach. And hopefully people are absorbing and they're understanding what it takes to be in a place like yours if they are aspiring to be that.
Thanks for having me. If anybody reaches out to you and wants to talk more, I'll gladly sit down and help anybody I can.
I will let you know. I will certainly let you know. Thank you. Savon Stryker, General Manager for Bob Pincus, representing Volvo and Mitsubishi and Volkswagen and Mazda. And big things to come. Great things to come.
Absolutely.
We're going to go to a quick break. When we come back, we're going to give you your weekly business update. A good morning to you. It's Friday, November 22nd. I'm Ted Robertson. This is your weekly KRDO Business Cast. In your headlines, a local tech company is in line for big incentives, and the vibes are very unhappy. And to your top stories, a local tech company could receive $550,000 in incentives. That's if it hits certain employment targets in the next few years. The software company known as BombBomb has told economic development officials that it plans to hire more than 180 employees over the next 4 years. That's led to the Colorado Economic Development Commission offering a $293,000 grant to the company, while the Downtown Development Authority is offering $250,000 over the next 4 years. The Springs is also offering the company sales and use tax rebates of around $14,000 if it hits smaller spending and hiring targets by the end of this year. And the Colorado Springs Vibes are not happy with Major League Baseball's proposal to reduce the minor league system's size. President and GM of the Vibes, Chris Phillips, says the proposal would take thousands of jobs away and severely hurt local-level businesses. He also called Major League Baseball's proposal an attack on communities and on minor league baseball. Major League Baseball wants to eliminate over 40 teams in the U.S., including those in Colorado and Montana. Major League Baseball and Minor League Baseball are currently negotiating. And the Salvation Army is asking for donations ahead of its annual Thanksgiving meal service. The organization says it especially needs donations of desserts for this year's dinners. Donations will be accepted at the group's Yuma Street location until Wednesday, and they're requesting that all items are store-bought as opposed to homemade. The trading week is winding down after there were fresh reports of a possible delay in the Phase 1 trade deal between the U.S. and China. At the closing bell, the Dow Jones Industrial Average lost 55 points to finish at 27,766. The S&P 500 gave up 5 points to close at 3,104, and the NASDAQ fell 21 points to end the day at 85,06. Oil prices are down from their highest levels in nearly 2 months as investors doubt the Trump's administration and China will arrive at any sort of trade deal this year. International benchmark Brent crude is down 33 cents a barrel to 63.64. West Texas Intermediate crude is down 39 cents to 58.19 a barrel. In automotive news, Tesla has unveiled its new all-electric pickup. CEO Elon Musk unveiled the Cybertruck at an event Thursday in Los Angeles. The new streamlined truck is shaped like a trapezoid. Musk said it may be less in demand than other Tesla models because of its unique design. All versions of the truck will come with Tesla Autopilot and will go 250 miles per charge. Production of the Cybertruck will begin in 2021 and will start at 39,000 of the vehicles. And a shock right before the busy Thanksgiving travel week. Frontier Airlines says it accidentally sent out emails Thursday to numerous passengers. It told them there had been a change to their upcoming flight. The emails didn't explain what the change was, but just told people to contact the rebooking hotline. Unsurprisingly, it was hard to get through with a deluge of calls coming in. The airline later explained the emails were sent out in error and that passengers can verify their upcoming trips on the airline's website. And that is your KRDO Weekly Business Cast for Friday, November 22nd. I'm Ted Robertson. Join me next Friday at 9 a.m. for the Extra Business Edition and your weekly business podcast only at KRDO News Radio.
You've been listening to the Extra Business Edition podcast with Ted Robertson, proudly serving and supporting you and the success of your business. The Extra Business Edition is a production of the KRDO Network and airs Friday mornings live at 9 a.m. on KRDO News Radio 105.5 FM, 1240 a.m. and 92.5 FM. Listen live at KRDO.com and on demand at KRDO.com. Select the radio tab and click on podcasts.